What's going on, everybody? We are back, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip Show. It's been too long. It's only been like a week, but it's been too long. Well, we're back. We're gonna have a great show today. I have an amazing guest, but first and foremost, as always, you know what to do. Like this, share this, tag your friends, and also, this is a very special episode. Because this is the first time, this is the first episode that we will now be on our new station, 106.1 WAKT, Toledo's community radio station. So I know my guest today got to be fire. Because if he wasn't, I wouldn't bring him on here. I met this gentleman at an event, a Comic Con, not too long ago, roughly last year. An amazing author, illustrator, and more. The author, Dirk Manning. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, doing very, very well. Thank you. Congratulations on all the leaps and bounds you've been taking the last year, too.
Man.
Continuing to bring it. I'll put this on blast right now. Toledo is my hometown. It's where I grew up, Toledo area. So the fact that you're bringing it back to Toledo, continuing to push forward. Cool pop culture stuff. Writers like me up in the mix. Everything you're doing, man. I appreciate you and thank you. Thank
you. Well, I appreciate that. I didn't know you were from Toledo area, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, why not, huh? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Now my home is the road, but that's that's where the roots grew into the ground before I got up and started stomping around the country. I guess like Groot or like those big trees in Lord of the Rings. I can't remember the name right now.
That's what I want to start off with, man. I know you're into illustration and comics and everything else, but what made you first venture out? So many people, you know, we want to stay in our own bubble and we don't want to go out there. What made you want to start doing anything like this?
You know, I joke around that, and it's only half a joke, but I was a really good artist in first grade, but I just never got any better. And as a result, I had to double down on writing. You know, I can't draw to save my life. You know, I work with illustrators from all over the place, but I don't draw myself, but I love art. I love art. I love music, but more than anything, I've always been a voracious reader. And I was like that kid go to the library and like, they'd like, I won't say run out of books because that's crazy, but they'd run out of the type of books I like. You know, the horror books, the science fiction books, all that stuff, the speculative fiction, they'd run out. And I discovered comic books when I was a teenager. So I was actually a late bloomer to the comic book game, but I found that comics really married both my love of art, but also my love of stories and long-term storytelling. And then, as I started to study comics and started to really get into them, I started to also realize, in a way, they also followed my other love, which is music. And, you know, the beat, the rhythm of the comic book and telling a story and images that way and that beat and that rhythm you get. And I realized that, you know, I had the bug, man. This is what I was going to do. This married everything I love. And I also realized then that, you know, you can be a big fish in a little pond, or you can try to be a mid-sized fish in a big pond. And that's no disrespect to 419, none whatsoever. I always come back. When Toledo had their first Comic-Con, and we'll talk about Fantasticon Toledo, but when they talked about Fantasticon year one, you can go right to Joe, Joe Neport, great guy, runs the show. And I said, look, I said, that's my hometown. And I want a real like Comic-Con event, not just dealers, but with guests and everything like that. I said, if you're bringing that to where I grew up, I want to come in and I want to do everything I can. And I put everything I had into that year one. And now, all these years later, Fantasticon Toledo still blows up. I'm not going to say I'm the sole one responsible. What I'm going to say is you have to honor your roots.
Yes, right? Yes.
You know, you got to bring, you know, and Toledo is a cool town because at any given time, Toledo, Ohio has four comic shops, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum, right? And they each have a different flavor, right? You go to the game room, they got a different flavor from the Monarch, got a different flavor from the other ones, right? And every shop has a totally different flavor. And I was very fortunate because growing up in that area, you know, getting to go to different comic shops and learn what you like, you learn what you don't like and things like that. So I was really fortunate to have that opportunity. And like I said, now, My touring schedule takes me all the way up to Traverse City, Michigan, all the way down into Florida. I go all the way to New York Comic Con. I go to San Diego Comic Con. I go to Seattle. I mean, you know, Chicago. I'm all over the place. But it's always special to get to come back to Toledo and rep your hometown. with
That's what's up,
be a
man.
guest. It's cool. And to see Fantastic Con Toledo continue to flourish and see more and more people every year get involved and getting into comic books, that's good stuff.
I really do appreciate that, man, because I'm actually from Detroit, but I first got my first radio job in Toledo, and
Oh,
they
right
have
on.
been showing so much love from day one. I mean, I didn't realize it was just such a warm and receiving type of place out there, man.
You know, there's a saying, you'll do better in Toledo. No. But that being said, Gary Reed, one of my mentors and one of my earlier publishers, he made me an honorary Detroiter too. So,
Okay,
and then
okay.
they'll say, you know, Detroit hustles harder, right? So, but
Yes.
Detroit versus everybody. So, I mean, there's love to that too. You know,
Oh,
Detroit and
man.
Toledo are brothers and sisters. Even if we fight sometimes, we're still family. So it's good.
You should have seen me when Michigan played Ohio State. I had like a half a jersey. Half Michigan, half Ohio State.
Yeah,
Whoever
you had the
won, I'm
house
on my.
divided, right?
Facts, man. Now, I also want to bring up this because you kind of touched on it just now. I just had author Brian Solomon. He wrote a book about the Sheik and many other books, but he was talking about the grind going out there. You just talked about traveling all the way to Florida. What would you tell to these young artists, young authors about getting out there and really pushing their works, man? Because I've heard from many writers, the books don't just sell themselves.
The books do not sell themselves now more than ever. You know what? Everybody's got five websites all about them. Right, you got your Facebooks, your Instagrams, your Twitters, your Tumblrs, you name it, all that stuff. Now more than ever, books and people that are seeing this on video will know that, you know, I'm in a room right now surrounded with books. I love books, but no matter how good the book is, it does not sell itself. You're exactly right. You got to get out there. Now, full disclosure, when I first got started in my career, you know, working day job and things like that, I couldn't afford to go out every weekend. It costs money to go out and do shows and promote yourself. But what I did was I said, I'm going to cast a net. Once a year, I would go to Pittsburgh and I would go to Chicago, which is about 4 hours either direction, right, from Toledo when you're getting started. And then I said, eventually, I'm going to start to then orbit up and then close the middle and then I'm going to spread back out. So you got to kind of pick your battles a little bit too, you know, but you got to do something. And it's also okay. And I think one of the things that I maybe didn't do in the way I should have is it's okay to own where you're from and make those local connections too. Now, over the years, I've done stuff with local libraries and stuff like that, you know, in multiple towns. I've done stuff in Michigan libraries, I've done stuff in Ohio, you know, done signings at the comic shops I shopped at when I was a kid, you know, teenager, you know, but don't be afraid to put yourself out there because if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Ooh.
You know, that's it. And don't get me wrong, there will be people who will say no. Then you just go somewhere else, right? They'll come back. You keep grinding, they'll always come back. They'll always come back, you know. But you just got to get out there and you got to prove yourself and take your lumps. I learned to ply my trade. From there, you know, from doing Pittsburgh and Chicago, then I started moving up into Detroit and doing stuff up there, right? And then I started to dip down a little bit more south, doing stuff in Columbus, right? And then you just, but again, I created a diameter, you know, like a circumference of places I would go. I talk with my hands, people can't
Oh, I
see it.
love it. I love it.
All right, a circle. And that became, it was like a band or like a wrestler, like a territory, right? That was my territory. I became that guy. Then pretty soon I got big enough in the Midwest. I had enough clout to go to New York. Now, the first time in New York, no one knew who I was. Now, I was used to grinding so I could hustle and I grinded. But then the second time I'm back, people started to know who I am. Same thing. You go all the way up to Seattle. You go to San Diego Comic Con. You go up to Traverse City. You know, Cherry Capital Comic Con. Same thing. They may not know you there, but when you learn your chops and you grind and you hustle, you learn what you got to do. So they may not know you the first time you're up there, but they'll remember you the second time you come up. And that's where you get them. That's where you start getting your traction. That's where people start checking out your work.
Do you guys hear these gems that he's giving you? See, you didn't know you're going to get a lesson today. Awesome.
Right.
You guys are getting
We'll
some
go to
gems.
church.
And by the way, I want to shout out Jason Brown from Public City PR. He just said, can't wait to see you again at Astronomicon in April, man.
Oh, right on, right
Yes,
on.
man.
Thank you. Yeah, I love Astronomicon. That's one of my favorite shows of the year, man. I love that show. I've been to every Astronomicon. I hope to keep that streak like The Undertaker just forever.
Whoa. This is number seven. You've been to every one, bro?
This is Ascon number 7, and I've been to all 8.
That's right, because they did six and
They did
6.5.
6.5, and I was there too.
Okay, so
Yeah,
salute,
no,
man. You're an
I'm
original.
8-0.
Yo, that's what's up, man. Now, you talked earlier about your genre is horror, but would you
Yes.
really say that? Because you do a little bit of, you've dabbled in different things, man. So would you really classify your genre?
I'm a horror guy at heart,
Okay.
right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's what it comes down to. When you look at series I've done like Nightmare World, Tales of Mystery, Love Stories About Death, even stuff like The Adventures of Cthulhu Jr. and Friends, that's I always go back. Even with the new book I have right now, Homestead, the Werewolf Western, which people can check out on Kickstarter at homesteadcomic.com. That's my roots. But then I'm a wrestling fan as well. So getting to work with Tony Schiavone, getting to work with Arn Anderson on their graphic novels was incredible. I'm a big music fan, like I said, getting to work with Twisted on Haunted Hions.
Oof.
That's cool too, man. But at the end of the day, I'm a horror guy, and that's where my love is. I'm an unabashed fan of horror. The biggest compliment I think I get about my work, as a matter of fact, is when people say, I don't normally like horror, but I like Dirk Manning stuff, or Dirk Manning stuff got me into
Nice,
horror. And
nice, nice.
that's where it is, because horror is not all excessive gore and nudity. I grew up a Twilight Zone baby with my great grandma. We used to watch Twilight Zone. And again, I'll throw a local reference out there, even for whether it be Toledo or Detroit. Back in the day, the wind would blow the right way, and you'd have to push the antenna around to get Route 20 and get like the creature features off of Channel 20, right?
Very true.
So I,
Very
or
true.
Channel 50 as well. I
Yep,
did
yep. Very
way
true.
back. But at the end of the day, I am. But again, I'm fortunate to get to work with Twisted on music comics or comics, with a musical act. Working with Tony Schiavone, and then especially working with Arn Anderson on their graphic novels. It's been cool little detours while my, kind of like little pit stops off the highway, but my highway's horror, man. My
Nice.
next four graphic novels coming out, you're gonna see, are all gonna be mainly in the line of horror again, because that's where my heart is.
That's so sweet, man. But I'm glad you kind of brought up the wrestling books, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But isn't it wild how so many of those different genres, they cross over so much? Horror
Yes.
fans, wrestling fans, rock fans. That's why when they do these cons, they bring all these type of people together, man. What do you think about that
Packages.
crossover?
No, I think that's exactly right. This is all stuff that really relies on people's passion and investment. Even when I did my first book in the superhero genre, Hope, I told people, I said, Hope is the scariest book I've ever written. And let me just give you a sample here, show them what I'm talking about. The cover, it's a woman who's a superhero on the cover, and it's pink. And they would say, Dirk Manning, you're selling out. You're doing a superhero book. I said, no. I'm doing Dirk Manning is doing a book about a superhero. And this is the scariest book I've written to date. And they said, oh, come on, he's hyping. He's just, all sizzle, no steak on this. Then they read the first chapter, like, oh my God. I said, yeah. But that's it. The crossover is there, People that like, heavy metal and rock and roll and wrestling. I mean, how long ago was it, way back in the day, WWE figured out WrestleMania, the rock and wrestling
Oh,
connection, right?
absolutely, man.
It all comes together. And I would argue that, well, you don't have to argue, the connection between like horror and heavy metal goes all the way back to like Black Sabbath, right? The roots of the genre. And again, it's all one big Venn diagram. It all just kind of comes together, and to get to celebrate all of that through my passion, which is comic books and graphic novels, I don't like to use this word lightly, but I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed to have these opportunities I've had. I mean, this is my last year was my 20th anniversary as a published writer.
Okay.
And to
Salute,
get
man.
to did just to get to keep leveling up and overcome adversity and have the growth opportunities I've had personally and professionally to keep moving down this road has been amazing.
Absolutely amazing, man. Congratulations. I know people keep saying this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm giving you your flowers, man, because you deserve it.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I try
Now,
I always rankled the word deserve, but I hope people can feel I earn, because I always try to earn them, and I always try to pay them back forward too. So, thank you.
my buddy Jordan, I do a little wrestling commentary. He does commentary, but he's also an author, Jordan Scavone. And he
Oh,
said, just a great dude. Yeah, he said he knows you, man. He said,
yeah. Well,
yeah.
that's the thing, man. The comic industry is a small circle, man. We all get to know each other. So, especially when you've been around like me for 20 years, man. These great temples show that, though, that's miles. It's miles on the road.
I heard that, man. I got a lot of them too up here. Whoo! Now, with that
Makes
being
us, it makes
said,
us dapper. Makes us dapper.
exactly. With that being said, so the first book, we talked about the wrestling connection. I actually got this book at a black manga convention in Detroit. So it was
Oh.
supposed to be like all black anime, but somebody was selling Butts in Seats, the Tony Schiavone story. And I
I
said,
didn't
wait a
know that.
minute. that's a little bit different than the title of the convention,
Right.
but I'm a wrestling guy, so I still grabbed it. Do you know I read the whole book in the parking lot because it was so good, man? I'm in the park
Thank
like
you.
2 hours, bro.
Man, listen, that is again amongst the best compliments you can get is like people like take your book to the bathroom or they take it to the parking lot and they start reading and they're sitting on the toilet and their legs get numb or they're in the car. All of a sudden they realize they got to get gas, they haven't even start driving yet, you know, or you pick it or you go to bed and then you're up all night because you can't put it down. I do that with my favorite books too. So thank you, man, so much. I don't want to put out there, was it, did you maybe get it from Mike Watson? Because he drew one of the stories in the book.
I
Do you
believe
remember?
so. I believe so. I can't remember the guy's name. It was just sitting there, and who I bought it from, but I believe that sounds about right.
That's right. That sounds like, you know, I mean, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, yeah, no, right on. That's cool. Well, you know, and that's the thing too, you know, getting a crossover in those different fandoms as well, right? You know, a lot of times people ask me amongst about my favorite comic creators. One of my favorite comic creators is a manga master,
Okay.
right? Jinji Ito, who writes this, he writes and draws the scariest comics I've ever seen. And talk about coming home. I do a show in March in a marathon down at Bowling Green State University, which is mainly an anime show. And they first invited me in years ago because I graduated from Bowling Green State University. And I thought, being a horror guy, like you said, I'm like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be my scene, man. But, you know, they were so sweet. They invited me down and I said, who am I to turn something down like this and get to return home. And I've gone back to that show every year. Man, I love Anime Marathon. It's fun. They're into it. They want stuff to read. They're up all night partying. They want to take a break, read something. So yeah, the crossover is there and it just shows we're all part of the same family, right?
For
We're all part of
sure,
that
man.
same family of fandom.
Now, I want to ask you about your connection with Schiavone, man. If people don't know, Tony Schiavone is an announcer for the Old World Championship Wrestling, and now he's with All Elite Wrestling, AEW. Now, being an interviewer, I know sometimes it's hard to get people to feel comfortable with you. You got to have that thing. How did you meet Tony, and how did you get him to feel comfortable with you to even do such a project, man? Because he's been closed for years.
Yeah, you know, it's the craziest thing. I met a guy named Mike Dawkins, who goes online as a gimmick attorney.
Okay.
He's an attorney, again, from the 419 area, who does a lot of work with wrestlers to help them trademark their gimmicks, right? Their names and stuff like that. I met him through a buddy of mine named Scoot McMahon, who I did an all ages horror book with called The Adventures of Cthulhu Jr. and Friends. So Dawkins and I met each other. Dawkins is a big comic fan, things like that, right? And he says to me, and this is in early 2020. Now keep that in mind. Early 2020, he says to me, he's like, hey, he goes, how would you feel about, he goes, like, you're a big wrestling fan, right? I go, oh, absolutely. And he goes, how would you feel about doing a comic book with Tony Schiavone? And I said, I'd be open to that discussion. Because here's the thing. I mean, it sounds like I'm being cute, but I'm not, because I was a little nervous about the idea of doing a comic book about someone's real life, right? I want to turn into a big vanity project. I only have so much time to do so many books. I was a big wrestling fan. I like Mike and stuff. And I thought, well, that could be interesting. So the plan was for me and for Mike Dawkins to introduce me and Schiavone at C2E2 in March of 2020. Okay, now keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind. I had a personal situation come up. I was scheduled to be at the show. I couldn't be at the show. I had a family member that fell very ill. I actually had to fly down to Florida. Couldn't get to the show. In fact, I was going to try to get there anyway. My publisher's like, what are you doing, man? Your grandfather's sick. Go see your grandfather. Just go do that. It'll be fine. But again, I had a streak at C2E2. I never missed it, but doesn't matter. Family first, right? And something like that. So we talked. We said, that's okay. I'll hook up with Shivani at the next show in a couple of weeks. What happened in March of 2020?
Oh no.
Oh yeah. COVID hit.
Yeah, man.
Everything gets shut down. So we end up connecting on Zoom. And we wrote that whole book on Zoom.
Are you serious?
We had, now at first, of course, like I was dressed like I am now, right? In a suit and, you know, a dress shirt. He's all dressed up. And our editor, Gina Joe's there. Mike Dawkins is there. Dave Silva. We're all dressed up and we're all, you know, real formal and professional. But about the fourth time we got together, we're like in our pajamas. We're like hanging out, you know, just
Yeah,
sitting here, just like BSing. And Tony's a natural storyteller. And
he is.
his story was really, to me, again, kind of like the American dream in a way, no pun intended. You know, but this is a guy that went from buying his family tickets to their first ever professional wrestling event to working with almost every major professional wrestling organization in the country, He left the industry for 20 years. He came back, realized his legacy. Because when he left, he never looked back, man. That's Tony. When
Oh,
he left,
yeah.
and when he came back, when Cody Rhodes helped bring him back in, and he recognized the legacy that he had, that's the American dream, man. Again, no pun intended, but that's a heck of a story. And that became the story of Butts and Seats. But yeah, then Tony got to do some signings together at different places again, down in Florida and Chicago, up at Astronomicon. And it was a fun run to do that with, you know, and I really valued the time we got to work on that book and work together.
See, that brings up another question, man. Now, normally you write graphic novels, which primarily are fictitious, correct?
Usually, yeah.
So you wrote this novel here with Tony, and the one with Arn, dealt with
Yeah.
real people, man. Were you worried now that you're telling some stories that some guys might like to hear, some might not? Were you a little worried they might come at you?
Both with Tony and with Arn, there were things that we said, look, this is going to be off the record. We're not going to talk about this, you know, because here's the thing. When you write something, you publish a book, it's permanent. Even if it's a moment frozen in time, you've permanently frozen that moment in time. And you got to be real careful about the fact that, man, if it feels good at the moment, man, I'm going to trash this person. I'm going to bury this person. And I'm not saying Tony did this, and I'm not saying Arn did this. But it's a conversation you have with people when you're doing real life stuff. And I'm like, look, if you say something that's kind of off color, it's kind of rude, and it goes in that book, there's no backsies, right? 5 years later, you guys make up. 10 years later, whatever, it's in there. And Tony really took that to heart, and Arn did too. Arn's such a gentleman. He doesn't really have anything bad to say about anybody, you know, in any real public degree, you know. But and as a result, we really just focused on the story of Tony, or then respectfully the story of Arn. But there were some things here and there that came out like, oh, we start getting loose with each other. Like, well, we can't put that in. But sometimes I'd be like, hold on, are we sure we want to have this in there? Like, okay, let's kind of we'll kind of gloss over that part. We'll kind of skip that part. But Tony, he was really open about stuff, you know. He talks about some of the struggles he had and things like that. And then same with Arn. With Arn's book, you know, My Life as the Enforcer, he talks about being raised by his grandparents, and he talks about, you know, barely knowing his mom, not knowing his dad, his grandparents being his parents to him. And that's not the type of story you'd necessarily expect to hear from the guy who's the enforcer, right? The guy who invented the spine buster, you know, the founder of the Four Horsemen, right? And here the book opens up and he talks about barely knowing his mom and being raised by his grandparents,
Wow.
you
See.
know. But it's all part of the story. It all part of what makes these people who they are in real life, but also as performers. And make no mistake, Tony's a performer too,
Yeah.
you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Now, do you have a copy of the Arm book in front of you so you could just show the camera? For the
Yes,
audio, the
sir.
video version, just so we can
This
see
was
it.
the Kickstarter exclusive hardcover, but the cover remains the same.
Nice, nice,
Right here it
nice.
is.
Now, Arn, we talked about Tony, but Arn is definitely an old school guy. So
Very.
tell me how you guys kind of originally connected, and was the energy a little different than him and Tony, or same type of way?
Yeah, the energy was definitely there with Tony, man. And again, you got to remember when Tony and our crew were talking, it was like during COVID, everything was shut down, right? That was like one of our outlets to actually get out and actually like have social interaction with people. But Arn and Tony are buddies. And Arn kind of put word out through Dawkins. He's like, hey, when do I get a comic book? And I was like, now, mind you, with Tony, and again, I mean, no disrespect, Tony. I was like, well, we'll see if I'll do this. And then heard Arn, and I'm like, oh. And I had that moment. I'm like, am I going to be the one who's going to write this? And I realized, no offense to anyone else, I knew exactly where this book needed to go. I had the vision for it, working with Colm Griffin and Sean Daly to do a similar book, kind of a companion piece to the Shivani book, but have two artists this time. The Shivani book had different artists every chapter. This one, I wanted to do like, you know, a present day Arn and the past Arn, and we weave back and forth with two different artists, two different art styles. But yeah, but Arn joked around and said, when do I get a comic book? And I said, so we can have that conversation. Let's go. And sure enough, and you're right, the energy was different. Arn is a gentleman. Arn is very much a gentleman, you know, and just a kind, compassionate person, very civil, just warm, kind. He's like a grandfather who could also snap you in half. You know, I mean, you hear people say like the big teddy bear. I mean, he's just very, it was a very wonderful experience to work with him. But it was definitely, he comes in, we're going to talk about that day, and then we're out. You know, business, you know. So, but he, businessman, kind man. But yeah, and again, one of the things I've really appreciated is people reading the Arn Anderson book have said how well we captured Arn's voice, and that was important to me. That book is narrated by Arn, right, as well. So ideally, you feel like Arn is just talking to you through that whole story, you know. And, but yeah, again, what a world, man. What a world. You think back to
Man.
like, you know, 13-year-old Dirk, 10-year-old Dirk, you know, like watching pro wrestling and now getting to work with these people and, you know, getting opportunities thanks to people like Tony, to meet Tony Khan and to meet some of these people and to be backstage in AW event and go to the shows and now work with Arn Anderson. The rave reviews that book is getting, you know, it's Butts and Seats was the first, so Butts and Seats, the Tony Schiavone story, was the first ever graphic novel, original graphic novel advertised on cable television. It was a number one bestseller on Amazon.
Wow,
That's right. That's
okay.
cool, man. That's
Salute, man.
what a world.
Again, guys, do you hear what we got right there? This is amazing, man. I'm sorry to keep putting you over like this, but you're amazing.
Oh no, it's a team effort, man. I didn't make these books by myself. I didn't
That's
make
what's
any of
up,
this. I didn't do any of
man.
this stuff by myself.
Now, one thing about you, I could tell you had a little bit of wrestling in you anyway, because Dirk used to do a bit of a gimmick. What was up with the mask thing when you would like cover your face? I would hear about you, but I never saw anything but your eyes for like 5 years.
Right. Well, it's twofold. One, in real life, I'm an introverted person. I'm a writer, right? I spend my time in a room by myself writing. And I was never one that really wanted like a photo of me out there, right? I mean, we can't all be pretty, right? We can't be good looking like you, man. So,
Stop it.
you know, we can't, you know, so I don't like photographs. So when I was first starting my career, I need another photo. And my buddy goes, I got just the idea. And he came up with the gimmick of like the top hat and the glasses and the black scarf and stuff like that. And like back on MySpace in the days and stuff like that, that became like my photo. And I did a column called Right or Wrong at Newsarama, which became the book Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics. It's a book, my Pay It Forward book to help people that want to write comics. So that became my logo with Right or Wrong was the guy in the top hat and the scarf. Well, then when I started doing shows out in Pittsburgh and out in Chicago and up in Detroit, people come to a convention and they wouldn't know what I looked like, right? And they'd meet me and they'd want a picture. And I'd be like, okay, you know, just, you know, private, you know, again, social media wasn't like it was now. They just want a picture committed to their event. And almost immediately, what happened was like, say I got like the Right or Wrong, for example, say I had this book, even though the book was not at the time. And I go take a picture and they go, well, hold on, no one's supposed to know what you look like. And I'm like,
I
oh,
love
okay.
it.
So just start holding up the book like this. And this became the thing. Right here. And then like when people tried to like post pictures of me online, like my whole face, like people get mad, like no, you can't, we're not telling, they like shut them down, right? They're like, no, because you don't know what Dirk Mang looks like. And I would get messages then later, people said, you know, I didn't really know what to expect when I met you, because they only would read my comics like Nightmare World and stuff like that online and things like that. And they said, we met you and you're so nice and so happy. And, you know, it was just really cool experience. They expected some guy in a top hat and a scarf and, you know, real gothic and creepy, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm creepy. Who knows? But I would tell myself, well, yeah, man. I mean, writing is like there. It's like therapy other people pay me for. I get all my demons out of the page, man. Well, of course I'm happy. We're having a good time and I'm honored you're reading my work, right? It's cool. It's fun. So, but yeah, actually, my readers are the ones that started
That
that
is.
whole thing covering the face. And now, 20 plus years later, I can't get away from it. I've sometimes used alternate drawings of Dirk Manning with the top hat and the scarf and the glasses. I experiment with that a little bit here and there, but that's the brand. And that's the other thing. I didn't want my brand to be like Nightmare World. Again, we just put out the 20th anniversary edition of this book. I love Nightmare World. I love this book. But I didn't want to be the Nightmare World guy. I love Tales of Mystery. I didn't want to be the Tales of Mystery guy. I'm very proud of my two wrestling books. I didn't want to be the Butts and Seats guy. I don't want to be My Life as the Enforcer guy. Dirk Manning.
Nice.
That's that's my brand. So that picture, the guy with the top hat and the scarf, right, and then the cover in the face, that's the brand. because ideally, for a long time in my career, if I'm putting out a superhero book, if I'm putting out an all ages book, if I'm putting out a wrestling book, a book with a couple juggalos, you know, I'm putting out whatever, a horror anthology or a werewolf Western, they say, Dirk Manning's writing that. He's going to be working with some great artists. That's going to be a good story. I'm going to check that out. And that's where it all started. And 20 years later, that's where it sits.
I love it, man. And I'm glad you debunked that, because I was thinking you just stole Wilson's gimmick from Home Improvement with Tim Allen, man.
No, I've gotten that on occasion, right? Stuff like that. Different little things, right? But no, the reader started that because, again, the thing was, you can't know what Dirk Manning looks like, you know? And it wasn't until really like Facebook and stuff like that, that people started seeing what it looked like. And even then I would do interviews like behind stuff. And I'm like, look, man, people are gonna like take this too serious, right? They could think I take it too serious. So I started doing stuff like this, doing live streams, and because people could come to a show and see what I look like, obviously. Yeah, you know, I mean, heaven help you. I mean, this is it,
for sure. Right?
Where people be like, oh, I thought you had like a deformed mouth or a deformed chin or something or bad teeth. I'm like, no, I'm just not a camera person.
I get it. Well, guys, make sure once again you listen to The Whip Show on 106.1 WAKT FM, Toledo's community radio station. Now, Dirk, one other thing you just kind of touched on, people thought you were like this really gothic, mean, mysterious guy, but you're actually a fun, energetic guy. Do you think that's kind of similar to wrestlers as well? Once they put that and become that person, they're a whole nother energy. Would you say that is similar with you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to, for a long time, people didn't know anything about me, right? And then it becomes very easy to tell stories about you, because then whatever people say about you becomes true because no one knows anything to the contrary. So in the last 4 years or so, especially, I've tried to kind of let people know, you know, no, I'm a real person. I'm not just this billboard, you know, this blank slate. But doing shows, I remember what it was like when I started going to Comic Cons and meeting the creators and things like that. And I had creators who were very kind to me, like James O'Barr from The Crow, and especially and many, many creators who were very kind with their time and things like that. And then I had experience with creators that were not so kind. And I realized early on, when I'm working a show and I'm at that table, I need to bring it. I need to have energy on. I need to be up, because if people are taking 30 seconds to come get a book signed, or they're taking 30 seconds just to see what's on my table, I owe them the opportunity to have a pleasant experience, because people don't remember what you sell. They don't remember what you offer. They remember how you make them feel. Mm-hmm. Right. And man, I get done with a show and people will tell you that I road trip with, or I split rooms with, or whatever, you know, my road buddies and stuff will tell you, man, I get out of the show and get done eating, and I'm just like, ugh. I'm just dead, because I'm an introvert at heart. Yeah, or again, I'll go do the karaoke stuff. You got to be on, you know, the karaoke mania, whatever it is, you know. But that's a very sacred obligation, that if people come to my table to show and they want to come see me, you know, whether I'm at Fantasticon, whether I'm at Marathon, C2E2, Astronomical, wherever I am, New York Comic Con, doesn't matter. I've gone to shows where I've had food poisoning. Right. And I'm like throwing up like 20 minutes beforehand. And I'll never forget one time, many, many years ago, I had food poisoning. I was 15 minutes late to my table. And I still think about it, because I was just like, not to be gross, but I was sick. But I got there, you know, I'm all pale, stuff like that. I had a bunch of saltines. I ate those, you know, get some burners in you. Right. You know, and you go and you make sure that everyone that comes to your table, they have a positive experience. Then when you get done, I'll get sick again when I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is like wrestling. You're on that stage. You got to make sure you're giving people a positive, pleasant experience. Then you'd be sick when you're done. You'd be tired when it's done. But this is such a great opportunity to have to have these moments. You don't take that stuff for granted. You got to go 110% every time.
And I got to let you guys know, he is very legit in what he's saying. When I met him at Astronomicon a couple of years ago, he had no idea who I was. Came to his table, told him I had the Butts and Seats book, and I asked you for a couple minutes to talk then. You gave me a good 3 to 5. And most guys give you like 30 seconds, hi, bye. But just so he's a real guy, man. Believe that, y'all.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But again, I appreciate the fact, again, getting started. I remember when no one, you'd want to pay people to talk to you, right? And that's the thing. And that's the thing, too. It doesn't matter if someone is tippy top, starting up in between. anybody that wants to give you time and wants to talk to you and sees value in that, you take those opportunities to be reciprocal, because I really appreciate that. And like I said, we've been buddies ever since. Now I get to
For
talk to you
sure.
here and get to, again, bring it full circle, get to rep the 419, man. That's cool. And all the stuff that you're doing. So it's just, I'm appreciative, man. I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for every opportunity I got. I'm 20 some, like I said, 21 years in the game, over 20 original graphic novels to my name, but I'm still grateful. I'm still hungry. And I appreciate every minute I get to do this, man. Every minute.
For sure. Now, speaking of talking, you were doing some talking on your Facebook Live yesterday. Something debuted, I believe. Would you
yes,
like to
sir.
tell the people what happened yesterday?
Yeah, I snuck in a plug earlier, but I got to double check. I want to say it's my 22nd graphic novel, Homestead. It's a Native American werewolf Western graphic novel done with Les Garner and Rob Blackhawk, Colin Johnson, Dave Lenz, Drina Joe, round out our team, our publisher, Sourcepoint Press. We debuted Homestead on Kickstarter yesterday. We got funded in a couple hours. We hit over $10,000 in pre-sales on Kickstarter in about 24 hours.
Wow.
Again, just so grateful. But yeah, people can check that out. Go to Kickstarter, look up Homestead, or homesteadcomic.com. But yeah, we had to end up going live like four times yesterday because we kept unlocking stretch goals. We've unlocked the first three stretch goals in the campaign. If you're not familiar with Kickstarters and how I run Kickstarters, you're going to see this through line, everything I tell you. I'm grateful. I pay it forward. The more books we sell, the more everybody gets for free added on to their pledge. So we've unlocked three stretch goals. In fact, if I get done with you, I got to get with my designer to put up the ad for the round two stretch goals.
Okay.
Like we did with the Arne Anderson book. You know, you get the hardcover. We did like the gold gilded pages, like the ribbon bookmark and all that cool stuff, you know. So, I love the sound of a book when you open it up like that. You know, so we did like the ribbon bookmark and things like that in there. These are upgrades that you only get on the Kickstarter exclusive versions of the book. Okay. So people have till April 1st. They can go to homesteadcomic.com, check it out. If you like what you heard here and you want to jump into my work, Homestead's a great place to start, man. Like I said, it's a Native American Western werewolf story. One and done, 100-page graphic novel. Heartfelt, very horror. It's about how far two families will go to protect their way of life.
Love it.
Out in the Great Plains.
Now, I want to flip it a little bit because I have a segment called The Mark Out Moment. Now, you've been doing your thing for a minute, met some great people in this industry. But has there ever been a moment where you're like, dang, I can't believe this is my life. I'm talking to her. I'm interviewing her. I'm writing about, you know, and you might not have fangirled out, but you really were like, I can't believe this in your head. What was your mark out moment?
I've had a couple. I'll lead up to the main event. Meeting The Undertaker was cool. You know, meeting Tony Khan from AEW and him thanking me for what I was doing with Tony Schiavone on that graphic novel. That was amazing. I marked out big for that. Getting to meet Harlan Ellison, who's a speculative fiction writer. He was one of my heroes growing up, and getting to meet him several times. But I think my biggest markout moment is something that's coming up here this October. I'm working with Lon Chaney Jr.'s grandson, Ron Chaney, and I'm doing the graphic novel adaptation of the lost horror classic London After Midnight. And as a horror kid, watching all those movies, not only with my great-grandma, but then my mom. You know, when I told my mom that I was working with Chaney Entertainment and working on, you know, Universal Monsters adjacent stuff, I mean, my mom even freaked out, right? I mean, we both marked out. And knowing that I can just call up Ron, in fact, I probably owe Ron a call here the next day or two about the progress on London After Midnight. And getting to bring this, for people that don't know, London After Midnight, the film was destroyed in a fire years ago.
Wow, okay.
There are no copies of this. But I'm working with Chain Entertainment to take that film script and we adapted it to a graphic novel. And now we're bringing the story to life truly, officially, for the first time, the definitive adaptation in a graphic novel. And I will tell you what, my friend, even now, just talking, my heart goes a mile a minute because this is no lie. I would go to horror conventions and stuff like that, and I would fantasize. What if, like, one day, like, I'm going through a box and find a tin or something, and there's a reel, and it's London After Midnight. And I swear to you that's true. That's not me trying to put over a book that's coming out this October on Kickstarter. I mean, that's, like, the thing. Like, everyone in the horror has seen the image of the guy in the beaver hat, the top hat, and he's got the sunken eyes and the teeth. You know, everyone knows that image. I got to write that character. And I had to take the original script and adapt it to a graphic novel. And then there's times when a film and a graphic novel don't line up exactly. So you have to make little edits. I'm like, oh my God, it's like I'm tinkering with London After Midnight, one of the most seminal, legendary horror properties of all time. And then for Ron to look at it and say, yeah, man, this is really good. I really like this. That was my markout moment.
I love it. I love it, man. That was my
markout moment, hands down.
I love
it. My biggest
one
anyway. But I'm still a fan at heart, you know.
I was going to say, it's nothing like, no matter how far you get, to still be a fan and still be able to enjoy moments, man. Because whatever you guys, and this is to the listeners out there, whatever you're into, whatever you're doing, never stop smelling the roses, man. Enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy what you're doing.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you real talk. Again, we'll go church again real quick here. That was the biggest mistake I made about the first 15 years of my career.
Wow, seriously.
I never stopped to smell the roses. I was always focused on the next thing. I was always going. I was always grinding. I was grinding too hard. And I didn't recognize all the accomplishments I had and how fast I was moving. And again, you know, a couple things come up, my grandfather getting sick, things like that. And I don't want to trivialize COVID. And I don't want to say, I mean, I got to be real. When you look at look at the silver lining of something as disastrous as that pandemic and how many people's lives got, you know, turned upside down, destroyed. At least in the comic circle, it made a lot of us slow down. And we had to detach a little bit. And we had to recenter. We had to refocus. And it's interesting because by slowing down a little, and like you said, by taking the time to smell those flowers a little bit more, my level of enjoyment, my level of passion, and my level of success has exponentially grown since 2020. Because I had to unplug, I had to slow down, I had to recenter, I had to refocus, and realize, man, I've got a spinner rack. It's off camera. I got an old school spinner rack, like Richie Rich, Spider-Man, Archie, and Superman on it, right? This is like non-denominational, right? And it's almost filled with only my work. But I'll tell you, the first 15 years, all I kept thinking about was filling it. Now I take the time to look at it and spin it. I still count. I know how many spots I got left, and I'm getting close. But you're exactly right, and I appreciate you saying that, because that's the other thing I tell the young cats out there, man. Take the time to enjoy it. Now, don't get complacent. Mm-hmm. There are times early in my career I got a little too complacent, and it bit me. But be humble, be hungry. But take the time to stop and appreciate it, because you never know when that journey is going to end. And I'm glad my journey didn't end when it did, you know, what at that point before I took the time to stop and reset, because I would have checked out of the game, never having enjoyed it as much as I do now. And now I'm enjoying it more. I've been nominated for the Ring Award. Books I've written have been nominated for the Ring Award 3 times. I'm working with Chain Entertainment. I've worked with Arn Anderson, all this cool stuff. But I'm convinced part of that's because I was able to slow down and just appreciate it more. And that gives you the passion and the vigor then to move forward that fashion.
Well, thanks a lot, Dirk. I'm supposed to speak at a school next week about media, and now I got to take a clip of this and add it to my PowerPoint that I was always finished with, because that was so good.
Royalty free, man. It's all yours. You have it.
I got to click. Man, got to add it to my PowerPoint. Okay, fine.
Oh, no, that's great, man. I appreciate you paying forward to schools, too. That's important. That's
for
good.
Sure, man. But before we get out of here, I know you got 2 big events coming up. Astronomicon, mm-hmm. I'll see you at that one. Yes, and sir. Fantasticon, right in the 419, man.
Yes, sir.
Have you said you've been doing Fantasticon from day one also?
Every year. I work with the promoters. I put everything hand into year one, and that show's still booming ever since. And Joe's real good to me. He's like, man, you always got a home here. And that's wonderful, because I love doing Fantasticon Toledo. Yeah, same thing with Astronomicon, jumping in that year one and be doing that every year since. You know, they got other people they call Mr. Astronomicon, but me and Twisted, who help run the show, were the only ones that have been there every year.
And I was going to say, speaking of Twisted, man, you get to party with them boys, because they have a little after party after Astronomicon. And my buddy, he actually rents a room, which a lot of people do, down in Livonia, because it's in the Burton Manor. And they would just party all weekend, man. So how do you handle that, man? All that party, because Twisted some wild boys.
They're wild, but they're also one of they're businessmen too, you know.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke, nothing like that. I go out, and people might think differently. They see me karaoke, the man, what's that guy tripping on? Like, no, he's a friend, you know. But conventions are work. They're work. And a show like Astronomicon, you're right. When I gotta go out there and do karaoke, the killer karaoke and stuff like that, and then get up sometimes at like 5 in the morning to go do an interview for the local news station. When you get to bed at 2, you get up at 5 to do that, then you go back and you like sleep for 2 more hours and you get up and work. It's work. Sitting at a keyboard is work. I don't get to play video games all that much. I don't get to watch TV and movies as much as I'd like to. It's work. But everything in life boils down to two things. And this answers your question, I promise. What do you want? What are you willing to do to get it?
Oof.
Now, I'm not saying go rob a bank to get money. But what I am saying is this. What I am saying is, if you want to be invited to that show every year, you got to put in, right? You got to advertise it. If you want to fill a spinner rack full of your own books, you got to sit down and write. You got to work with your artist. You got to treat them right. Every book I've made has had other collaborators with it, right? And you do that by treating people right. And again, I'm not saying you're going to be friends with everybody you work with forever. People change, relationships change, dynamics change, people come and go. I mean, it's just part of life. But what do you want? What are you willing to do to get it? And that means putting in. And when you put in, you may not always get back, but if you get back a little bit more than you put in, and you put in 100%, maybe you'll get back 105, 110. And there you go.
Right, man. Well, Dirk, man, thank you for coming on the show, man. I told you you're my actual first guest on a new radio show, so I
Yeah, thank you for
appreciate
that.
you. You did your thing. But before we go, you are a wrestling guy, so I
Yes,
got to
sir.
get an answer from you. Cody or Roman at WrestleMania 40?
The short answer is Cody.
You
Look,
hurt
man.
my feelings, man. You're a
No,
Cody
listen,
crybaby.
Roman's been great. Roman's been great. Like everyone, I think I had the air knocked out of me when Cody lost last year. But I was doing an interview with Shivani one time, and Cody came on camera because they were down an event. And Cody said, "Hey, man, why don't you guys come to the event?" And I thought I was going to get to work with Cody. And years prior to that, I met Cody at a rest stop, like 2 in the morning, going to the
Just totally random.
totally random. It was him, Bo Dallas, and Damian Sandow. And he had a picture with him outside, down the bathroom. I came out, when they came out, I was like, "Hey, I got a picture of guys real quick." So Cody's been my guy for a long time. But again, Cody's a guy that's been doing everything right.
Yeah.
And I get it. He didn't slay enough dragons by last year's WrestleMania to get it. But he almost got the rug pulled out from him again this year. I don't care what anybody says, they've made chicken salad out of chicken poo, because
Yeah.
that was going to go real south for a minute. And again, man, I'm not going to sit here and diss the Rock either, but Cody almost got
Oh yeah. Yeah,
the
it
rug
was.
pulled out. But they've turned it around. They've made an incredible storyline. They've done great work. But Cody slayed enough dragons at this point, man. He slayed enough dragons to get that belt. He's been doing everything right. He's been shaking the babies and kissing hands, or kissing babies and shaking hands, whatever it is. I'm a horror guy. I mix them up. Sorry. But it's got to be Cody, man. It's got to be Cody this year. It's time. Let him finish that story. And if he holds that belt for a day, he finished it.
Yeah,
And then he
man.
can build the next. Then he can build the next volume of the story from there.
As much as I hate to say it, you're absolutely right, man. When they were here for SummerSlam in Detroit, I got to do a lot of the press events, and they did an event at King High School. They brought in about 500 kids from all over the Detroit area and Toledo. And of course, normally they
And
have
who
like
was
if you
there? Who was
exactly
there?
Cody was there. Normally they have, and you know how these things go. Not the knock guys, but me, it's a low card guys.
Sure.
Cody had like five other meetings, but he said he had to be there. And if you
That's
would have saw
it.
them kids' faces light up, man. And by the way, I don't know if you're a man of manifestation, but I am. I'm putting out there, you're going to write a book about Cody in the future.
I'll tell you what, I would love to. I would love
Because he
to.
has an
I would
amazing
love to.
story.
Like I said, we've had two near misses. Because here's the punchline to this. Cody invited me and our crew down for the Shivani book down to the event in Florida. It was a whirlwind event. I was back on the plane flying back to Detroit. And I said, "We never hooked up with Cody."
Oh man. Oh man. Oh
He
man.
was busy. I was busy. It's like he invited us down, but he was busy. I was busy. I'm like, we never hooked up. So that was twice. Once years ago at a turnpike on the Ohio Pennsylvania border, I think it was. And then the second time, he invites us down to Florida to an AEW event. We go down there at Daly's place, left, and never crossed paths once because we were
Oh,
just busy doing everything,
man.
right? And living that life for a minute. So, hey man, from your lips to whoever's listening's ears, third time's a charm.
For sure, man. Well, the last quick segment is called Ring the Bell. That's where I give you 60 seconds to say whatever. You could just promote what you got coming up. You can tell people what you ate yesterday. Totally anything in the world. But Dirk Manning, 60 seconds. I want you to ring the bell. Go ahead, man.
I ate ice cream yesterday to celebrate Homestead being funded on Kickstarter. You can check out homesteadcomic.com. That'll take you right to the Kickstarter page, or go to Kickstarter, type in Homestead. It's a Native American werewolf Western story. You can find my full convention schedule and my bibliography at dirkmanning.com. All across social media at Dirk Manning. Look for the picture of the guy with the top hat and the scarf, and I'm going to kick out before three.
Woo, my guy. Dirk, once again, thank you for coming to the show, man. It has been a pleasure. You know the door is open to the whip show anytime that you want it, my guy.
I appreciate you. Yeah, let's talk sooner. We'll hook up in April, Astronomicon latest, man. Hopefully, we'll have some more news to share by then.
Definitely, definitely, man. And to everybody listening, we're gonna get on out of here. Thank you all for tapping in to the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka the Whip Show. You know how to get a hold of us. Check us out on all social media platforms. We're Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get it, it's right there. The Whip Show, just put it in. You get me, you might get Dirk, you get anybody. See y'all next time. 106.1 WAKT, Toledo's community radio station. Take care, guys.